when travelers come into Lebanon at the airport, those that are not exempt from taking the PCR exam, they have to take it, the PCR test, mm-hmm. and when they take it, they pay $50, what we call now in Lebanon fresh, which is cash, US dollars. And that money, we don't know who is collecting it, where does the money go? We know we're averaging 12,000 travelers per day. We don't know how many are actually sitting for the test, but they could be at least about 10,000. Mm-hmm. And we know that that means around $600,000 or so per day.
Fresh money a day.
Fresh money per day. We know that's around $4 million per week. We know that's about $16 million fresh per month. Where is that money going? We would like to teach this government that as they report corona cases every day and all the details, we want this type of reporting on a daily basis about every single penny that belongs to the Lebanese people that comes into the hands of the government and goes out of the hands of the government.
Gina Shamas, political commentator, expert in anti-corruption, fraud detection, and corporate governance, I want to thank you for your incredible effort and your amazing voice in support of all Lebanese residents, not only Lebanese citizens. Thank you very much for your efforts, and thank you for being with us and for your contribution for today. And please do stay tuned next week for more from the Mideast Stream.
In the limelight.
They came after Julian because he exposed the more than 15,000 unreported deaths of Iraqi civilians, because he exposed the torture and abuse of some 800 men and boys aged between 14 and 89 at Guantanamo, because he exposed that Hillary Clinton in 2009 ordered U.S. diplomats to spy on U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and other U.N. representatives from China, France, Russia, and the U.K., says Chris Hedges, journalist, in an article titled "World's Most Powerful Imprison Julian Assange for His Virtues, Not His Vices." Stay tuned for more. A society that prohibits the capacity to speak in truth extinguishes the capacity to live in justice. Yes, all of us know and admire Julian Assange and decry his prolonged suffering and the suffering of his family. Yes, we demand that the many wrongs and injustices that have been visited upon him be ended. We honor him up for his courage and his integrity. But the battle for Julian's liberty has always been much more than the persecution of a publisher. It is the most important battle for press freedom of our era. And if we lose this battle, it will be devastating, not only for Julian and his family, but for all people around the world. The long campaign against Julian and WikiLeaks is a window into the collapse of the rule of law. Tyrannies invert the rule of law. They turn the law into an instrument of injustice. They cloak their crimes in a faux legality. They use the decorum of the courts and trials to mask their criminality. Those such as Julian, who expose that criminality to the public, are dangerous, for without the pretext of legitimacy, the tyranny loses credibility and has nothing left in its arsenal but fear, coercion, and violence. Thank you. was no legal basis to hold Julian Assange in prison. There was no legal basis to try him, an Australian citizen under the U.S. Espionage Act. The CIA spied on Julian in the embassy through a Spanish company, UC Global, contracted to provide embassy security. This spying included recording the privileged conversations between Julian and his lawyers as they discussed his defense. This fact alone invalidated the trial. Julian is being held in a high-security prison, so the state can, as Niels Melzer, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, has testified, continue the degrading abuse and torture it hopes will lead to his psychological, if not physical, disintegration. The U.S. government directed, as Craig Murray so eloquently documented, the London prosecutor James Lewis. Lewis presented these directives to Beritzer. Beritzer adopted them as her legal decision. It was judicial pantomime. Lewis and the judge insisted they were not attempting to criminalize journalists and muzzle the press while they easily set up the legal framework to criminalize journalists and muzzle the press. And that is why the court worked so hard to mask the proceedings from the public, limiting access to the courtroom to a handful of observers and making it hard and at times impossible to access the trial online. It was a tawdry show trial, not an example of the best of jurisprudence. The architects of imperialism, the masters of war, the corporate-controlled legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government, and their obsequious courtiers in the media are illegitimate. Say this simple truth and you are banished, as many of Americans have been, to the margins of the media landscape. Prove this truth as Assange, Chelsea Manning, Jeremy Hammond, and Edward Snowden have by allowing Americans to peer into the inner workings of power, and they are hunted down and persecuted. Shortly after WikiLeaks released the Iraq war logs in October 2010, which documented numerous U.S. war crimes, including video images of the gunning down of two Reuters journalists and 10 other unarmed civilians in the collateral murder video, the routine torture of Iraqi prisoners, the covering up of thousands of civilian deaths and the killing of nearly 700 civilians that had approached too closely to U.S. checkpoints, the towering civil rights attorneys Len Wenglass met with Julian in a studio apartment in central London. Julian's personal bank cards had been blocked. Three encrypted laptops with documents detailing U.S. war crimes had disappeared from his luggage en route to London. Swedish police were fabricating a case against him in a move, Ratner warned, that was about extraditing Julian to the United States. They came after Julian Assange because he exposed the more than 15,000 unreported deaths of Iraqi civilians, because he exposed the torture and abuse of some 800 men and boys aged between 14 and 89 at Guantanamo, because he exposed that Hillary Clinton in 2009 ordered U.S. diplomats to spy on U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and other U.N. representatives from China, France, Russia, and the U.K., spying that included obtaining DNA, iris scans, fingerprints, and personal passwords, part of the long pattern of illegal surveillance that included the eavesdropping on UN Secretary General Kofi Annan in the weeks before the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. Because Assange exposed that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the CIA orchestrated the June 2009 military coup in Honduras, that overthrew the democratically elected President Manuel Zelaya, replacing it with a murderous and corrupt military regime. Because Assange exposed that George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and General David Petraeus prosecuted a war in Iraq that under post-Nuremberg laws is defined as a criminal war of aggression, a war crime, that they authorized hundreds of targeted assassinations, including those of U.S. citizens in Yemen, and that they secretly launched missile, bomb, and drone attacks in Yemen, killing scores of civilians. Because Assange exposed that Goldman Sachs paid Hillary Clinton $657,000 to give talks a sum so large it can only be considered a bribe, and that she privately assured corporate leaders she would do their bidding while promising the public financial regulation and reform. Because Assange exposed the internal campaign to discredit and destroy British Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn by members of his own party. Because Assange exposed how the hacking tools used by the CIA and the National Security Agency permits the wholesale government surveillance of Americans' televisions, computers, smartphones, and antivirus software, allowing the government to record and store American people's conversations, images, and private text messages, even from encrypted apps. Yes, Julian Assange exposed the truth. He exposed it over and over and over until there was no question of the endemic illegality, corruption, and mendacity that defines the global ruling elite. And for these truths, they came after Julian Assange, as they have come after all who dared rip back the veil in power. The criminal ruling class has all locked in its death grip. It cannot be reformed. It has abolished the rule of law. It obscures and falsifies the truth. It seeks the consolidation of its obscene wealth and power.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin. Supplication number 8. We are still trying to decipher the words or the keywords in the title of the dua itself, which is when the Imam wanted to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from few things. So we are still stuck at the word seeking refuge. What does it mean to be isti'adha? We said there are 5 pillars. We spoke about 4 of them. Now I want to continue with the rest of the 4 and the 5th, and then inshallah we move on to the next keyword. So the 4th pillar was of isti'adha, al-musta'adu min, that which we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from. So there are many things, as we said, that we don't know about, and sometimes when I say a'udhu billah, I don't keep them into mind. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they are always specific in what they want. So they don't say a'udhu billah and they move on. Most of the times they say what they are seeking refuge from, which is a lesson for me and you to know that there are dangers that I might not see, I might not ask for. So because you say a'udhu billah, it doesn't mean you're protected completely, because sometimes there are things you haven't taken into consideration. Even sometimes the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam, they say to us that when you ask Allah for something, be more specific. Don't say, oh Allah, give me rizq. Rizq means many things. Knowledge is rizq. A good friend is rizq. I don't know, having things in life is a good risk. But actually what you wanted is money. So you have to be more specific. You say, well, Allah knows. Yes, Allah knows, but Allah wants to hear it. That Allah was in a hadith, he was talking to Musa. He says to him, even ask me for your salt. You want salt? Ask me for salt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his servants to be literal with him, which means he wants you to talk with him, basically. Otherwise, he knows what you want and he could give it to you. But say, oh Allah, I have debt. This person owes me money. Give me money. When you say, give me rizq, it means a lot of things. So the Ahl Bayt say, be more specific in what you want. Now, before we continue, let us take a short break and then we come back, inshallah.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So, al-musta'adu min, that which we seek refuge from. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in the night of ascension, when he went to the heavens, Jibra'il, the archangel Jibra'il, he taught him a dua, which is a dua of isti'adha, to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to the Prophet, say these words, A'udhu biwajhi Allah al-Kareem, I seek refuge in the generous face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa bi kalimatihi, and in his words, allati la yajawizuhu ahad, that no one can go above or beyond, whether a good person or a bad person. And then he becomes more specific in what he seeks refuge from. And he says, من شر ما ينزل من السماء, from all evil that comes from the heavens. Now, this itself requires a lot of explanation, but we'll leave it for another day. So, there are evils that come from the heavens. We seek refuge from Allah in that. وما يعرج فيها, and that which goes back to it as well. So, from and to. ومن شر ما ينزل من الأرض, and from the evils that comes from within earth, or that comes to earth, وما يخرج منها, and that comes from earth. So there are things that come to earth and go out of earth which are labeled evil. ومن شر فتن الليل, and from the trials of the night. So many crimes happens at night, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these things, not only at night, but then he says والنهار, and day as well, the trials of night and the trials of day. وَمِن شَرِّ طَوَارِقِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, there are things that will come knocking onto you with their problems and their evil during the day and during the night, and you need to be what? Aware of. إِلَّا, and the dua goes, إِلَّا طَارِقٍ يَطْرُقُ بِخَيْرٍ, except that which comes in a good way. So the طارق, that which knocks, the literal meaning, but meaning the things that comes onto you, sometimes bad, sometimes good. So we say we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all these things that are evil, and you know, and we say, oh Allah, please protect me, day, night, earth, heavens, from all directions we need protection. Let us take a short break and then we continue, inshallah.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and we are looking at the word isti'adha. We reached up to the fifth pillar of isti'adha, which is al-musta'adu li-ajlah. Sometimes there are things we seek refuge from, there are sometimes things that we seek refuge for. Okay, as a human beings, we are incapable of bringing benefit to ourselves, nor are we capable of pushing harm away from ourselves. That could only be possible with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for refuge. So now I understood what isti'adha means. I understood who is the one seeking the isti'adha. We understood who we are seeking isti'adha. Who is he that we're seeking isti'adha from? what are the things that we're trying to run away. But also, when we need things, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah, I seek refuge in you, that I need a lot of good. I need you to give me a lot of goods. And sometimes Allah has given us so many goods that we seek refuge in Him to keep it safe, keep it protected. For example, knowledge itself, ilm, is a blessing, is a gift from Allah. We ask Allah to protect it for us. Or say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you that I do not lose my knowledge. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you that I don't lose my health, I don't lose my family, and so on and so forth. So you have to keep in mind that the word a'udhu or isti'adha, it has pillars that you need to keep in your mind, that when you have them all, then you could move on to the things that you want. So the Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, first he says, or the title of the dua first says, him seeking isti'adha. So that's what it means. And then what does he want next? Inshallah, we will look at in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musavi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
for thought. Salam friends, and condolences yet again to you all on the sad 11th of Muharram, the day the noble household of the Prophet were chained and taken as captives to the courts of the tyrants, a day after the blood-curdling tragedy of Karbala. Here we present you the words of the Prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, as the caravan of captives was forced to pass by the mutilated bodies of martyrs. The angels of the sky shower blessings on you, but here is Hussein lying in the wilderness, wrapped up his turban and cloak, and with his limbs dismembered, while your granddaughters are made captives. To God is the complaint, O Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This is Hussein, whose head severed from the back of his neck lies exposed to the easterly wind pouring sand upon him, killed by the sons of adulteresses. Ah, what grief you have suffered, O Abu Abdullah Hussein.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Sex scandals are back in the news. In one of the latest cases, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has just resigned after another official inquiry revealed that 11 women had accused the Democrat of groping or sexually harassing them.
Sharing my story, 6 more women have come forward with their experience of being bullied, harassed, and assaulted by the governor of New York. When the governor lies about his abuse of power, as he's doing right now and daily, it's a betrayal of the public's trust.
Yet this kind of behavior has gone on forever in U.S. politics on both sides of the aisle.
They reviewed more than 74,000 pieces of evidence, including documents, emails, texts, audio files, and pictures. These interviews and pieces of evidence reveal a deeply disturbing yet clear picture. Governor Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees in violation of both federal and state laws.
In the past 20 years, most governors who have resigned got caught in sex scandals of one sort or another. When Andrew Cuomo was elected Attorney General of New York in 2006, he succeeded Eliot Spitzer, who was elected to the governor's office that year. Spitzer's term as governor would last a mere 15 months after it was revealed he regularly visited prostitutes at Washington, D.C.'s famed Mayflower Hotel. Cuomo's successor in the role of state attorney general, Eric Schneiderman, stepped down in 2018 following a report that he had physically abused several women he had dated. The list of American political figures who have been accused of sexual harassment or assault is too long, even in the wake of the Me Too movement, which started in 2017. As for the former U.S. president, more than 24 women have publicly accused Trump of sexual harassment or assault. Just weeks before the 2016 election, a recording from 2005 surfaced of Trump boasting in vulgar terms about kissing and groping women without their consent. Trump acknowledged his remarks at the time, but he also dismissed the conversation as locker room talk.
This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it, but this is locker room talk.
Later in 2019, the writer of E. Jean Carroll accused Trump of raping her in the dressing room of a department store in New York City. In an unusual move, Trump brought in the Justice Department to defend him.
It was a stunning and shocking day, but for all women in the country, Robbie and Joshua are fighting to right this wrong. A woman who makes a complaint against a powerful man, women in this country must be assured that her case will not be tossed off to the DOJ.
In 2017, Leanne Tweeden, a comedian and sports broadcaster, accused Al Franken, a Democratic senator from Minnesota, of forcibly kissing her during a rehearsal, of groping her for a photo while she slept during a 2006 comedy tour through the Middle East. In late 2017, a number of women said that Roy S. Moore, at the time a Republican candidate for Senate in Alabama, had made sexual advances towards them when they were teenagers and he was in his 30s. Then President Trump, however, endorsed Moore about a week before the election.
He stopped the car and he parked his car in between the dumpster and the back of the restaurant, where there were no lights. The area was dark and it was deserted. I was alarmed and I immediately asked him what he was doing. Instead of answering my questions, Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me.
Soon after Trump nominated Brett M. Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court in 2018, 3 women accused him of sexual assault or misconduct. Kavanaugh denied the allegation and was confirmed to the court by one of the slimmest margins in American history. Perhaps the most scandalous case in the modern history of U.S. politics is that of Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky, a White House intern back in 1995. Clinton admitted that he had an inappropriate relationship with Lewinsky. As president, he was impeached, however, for lying under oath to a federal judge, not because of having sex with Lewinsky, though that was the context. During the impeachment investigation of Clinton, it turned out then House Speaker Newt Gingrich was having an affair of his own. Gingrich was then seeing Calista Bizek. He was leaving his wife Marianne Ginther, with whom he was having an affair while married to his first wife, Jackie Gingrich. Among the less heard cases is the sexual misconduct of John F. Kennedy, as chronicled by Seymour Hersh in The Dark Side of Camelot. That includes Kennedy's involvement with mob mole Judith Campbell Exner and Helen Romage, an agent working for the East German STASI, an extension of the Soviet KGB. These days, American politicians don't feel compelled to step down over sexual harassment. Donald Trump slept with at least one porn star and paid off mistresses to keep them quiet. Yet he shrugged off endless claims of inappropriate behavior. His fellow Republican Matt Gaetz has also refused to quit, even after he got caught up in a dirty scandal. Reported payment records suggest that Gaetz paid $900 to a fellow politician operator who then allegedly wired $900 to three teenage girls almost 8 minutes later. The same is true about Democrats. The Democratic Party stuck by Joe Biden after a former staff member, Tara Reid, accused him of sexual assault. Even before he formally entered the Democratic presidential race, a former Nevada assemblywoman accused Biden in March 2019 of inappropriately touching her and kissing her on the head at a campaign rally in 2014. Despite the advent of the Me Too movement, meant to protect vulnerable women, sexual abuse has mostly been politicized in the US, a weapon being used by politicians to defeat their rivals. As sex scandals rage on across the US political stage, women's rights per se still remain a low priority.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about the month of Muharram. Every day is Ashura, and every land is Karbala. Today, Friday, is the 11th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. I invite you to listen to some parts of Ziyarat Ashura and a short commentary of this Ziyarat.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها
Upon you and upon all of those who were killed is the salam of Allah from me for eternity, as long as the night and the day remain. O Abu Abdullah, surely the tribulations are great and unbearable, and your tragedy is great for us, and for all the people of Islam, and unbearable and great is your tragedy in the heavens. And for all of the dwellers of the heavens, may the curse and la'an be upon those people who laid down the foundations for the oppression and wrong done upon you, the family of the Prophet Ahlul Bayt. May Allah curse those people who denied you your position, O Ahlul Bayt, and removed you from your rank which Allah Himself had granted you.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
And the calamity that befell on you is reckoned by all the inhabitants of the heavens as severe and great. In this phrase, we confess that not only was the calamity great for the earth and its inhabitants, the heavens and their inhabitants likewise were overtaken by sorrow and grief for what transpired on a representative of Allah on earth. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza says, certainly the seven heavens and earth cried because of his martyrdom, Imam al-Hussein.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid
Every day is Ashura and every Lent is Karbala. If people would understand this meaning and observe it in every land they stay and every day they live, the right of Islam for which Imam al-Hussein was martyred would be met. If they did that, the face of Muslims in the world would change and they would be the masters instead of being slaves. However, a majority have understood it to be just to weep, wail and dramatic performance which is repeated for a few hours of the year on the anniversary of Ashura. Then everything is to be forgotten thereafter.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbeinu Nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about making connections with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as a necessary condition in our lives. In this connection, it must be indicated that the month is Muharram and Safar should provide us with kind of energy or extra insight in order to consider the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and to know well and to recognize that what we are expected to do, to fulfill, and what we are expected to teach others. In this connection, it must be emphasized that this kind of teaching, this kind of education, shouldn't be limited to only teachers or clerics, rather all parents, all individuals, one by one, everybody is expected to act like a teacher in order to teach other people of the character, career, and the sublime missions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Certainly, while fulfilling these duties, we would certainly move closer to the standards of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and we should seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to be diverted, not to be led astray from the path of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Because joining the path of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is one thing, and remaining on the same path is something totally different and more significant for our felicity, both in this world and in the world hereafter. Thank you.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, where little children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein. Hussein, ya Hussein.
Merit of visiting the grave of Imam al-Hussein. It is related in numerous traditions that the visitation of Imam al-Hussein's grave shall result in forgiveness of sins, be a means of entering paradise, and grant liberty from hell. It shall also result in the negation of evils, elevation of rank, and fulfillment of desires. The only who goes to visit the grave of Imam al-Hussein while being cognizant of his right, Allah will forgive all of his past and future sins. In another tradition, it is related that his intercession will be accepted for 70 sinful people, and there is no desire that is asked at the head of his grave except that Allah fulfills it. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on the month of Muharram. From the lessons of the day of Ashura, we reach to female empowerment. After the massacre, the tents of the daughters and granddaughters of the Prophet Muhammad were ransacked and set alight. It was here the Zainab bint Ali, the sister of Hussein and granddaughter of the Holy Prophet, took leadership of the remainders of the camp.
women who were known for their incredible hijab, both physical and social, and their chastity were paraded as captives all the way to Damascus for the world to see. Despite this, Zainab stood firmly in the court of Yazid and delivered a famous speech that put his entire reign to shame. In it, she said, "O Yazid, do you think that we have become humble and despicable, owning to the martyrdom of our people and our own captivity? As you have blocked all the paths for us, and we have been made captives, and we are being taken from one place to another, do you think that Allah has taken away his blessings from us? Do you think that by killing the godly persons you have become great and respectable, and the Almighty looks at you with special grace and kindness?" These were the great words of Zainab al-Kubra, peace be upon her.
Abu Hamza al-Thamani was one of the companions of Imam Zain al-Abidin. So he comes to him one day, he sees him crying. This is years after Karbala. Abu Hamza tells him, "My dear Imam, isn't it enough crying? And get over it. Al-qatlu lakum aada wa karamatukum min Allahi shahada." It's a norm. It's something usual in your family, shahada, martyrdom. Every couple of months, someone from your family is killed. This is an honor for you. But why can't you get over this one in specific? Imam Zainul Abideen, alayhi salam, he tells him, "Na'am, al-qatlu lana ya aada ya ya wa karamatuna min Allahi shahada. لكن هل سمعت أذناياك أو رأت عيناك أن امرأة منا سبيت وهتكت قبل يوم عاشوراء?" He said, "Yes, you're right. It is a custom for us, martyrdom. But however, have you ever heard or seen of any time in which the women of Rasulullah were taken as prisoners of war, in which they were beaten, in which they were humiliated?" "Yes, for the men it is a custom, but not for the women. The women should be in the houses, protected." And then he tells him, "مَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ عَمَّاتِ وَأَخَوَاتِ إِلَّا وَتَذَكَّرْتُ فِرَارَهُنَّ فِي الْبَيْدَاءِ مِنْ خَيْمَةٍ إِلَىٰ خَيْمَةٍ وَمِنْ خِبَاءٍ إِلَىٰ خِبَاءٍ وَالْمُنَادِي يُنَادِي أُحْرِقُوا بُيُوتَ الظَّالِمِينَ." He says, "Every time," he says, "I can't get over Karbala." You know why? He says, "Every time I look at my aunt, every time I see my sisters that were there in Karbala, I remember how they would run away from one tent to the other. I remember how they burned the tent and how they would run out of the tent screaming while they cried out, 'Burn down the tent upon the oppressors.'"
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Salam. with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.